You know, a lot of times people, we think God don't love us. You know, I've been through times in my life when it's a dark hour. And I got to the point one morning I said, I don't even think God cares anymore. Well, we're bad about throwing them pity parties. And, you know, the devil brings this stuff to you. And he'll shovel it on you just as long as you'll take it.
That's right.
And but we always, we've got a question a lot of times. Don't God care? Is God on my side? Well, the message I want to preach tonight is the real question is, and it is, are you on God's side?
Amen.
That should be what we're asking ourselves.
Amen.
I know God's on my side, but whose side am I on?
Yes.
You know, and you. So many times we get on our own side. We want to do everything our way. As Brother Ross mentioned that song Wednesday night, he said something to me about it, and my mind went blank. But Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra did it their way. But I'm telling you, it's time that God's people do it God's way. In Joshua chapter number 5, children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River. They're headed for the promised land. God promised Abraham a land many years ago, several hundred years prior to this. He promised Abraham and his seed a land, and he told Moses to go down to Egypt and lead his people out to a land that flowed with milk and honey.
Yeah.
And Joshua, Moses led them out, but then Moses, you know, in the you Bible readers and people that's been around the church, you know that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because of some things that he did disobeyed God in. And
yeah.
And you read what Moses did and you think, well, it wasn't so bad, but it's still disobedience. And when we're disobedient, we have to pay the price sometimes. But I think that God's people need to be obedient to God. And I think we need to decide whose side we're on. And here in the 5th chapter of Joshua, they've crossed over the Jordan River, and you know how that God parted the river for them, and they came over on dry land, and the Bible tells me that the people of Canaan land and all them people over there, they saw that, and the Bible said there was no more spirit left in them. I mean, they saw a God that took care of a bunch of people, and listen, I want to tell you something. When God's fighting on your side, I don't want to be fighting against God. That's what Gamaliel, he told the Sanhedrin court. They said, what are we going to do with Peter and John, all these apostles that preaching this man Jesus? And he said, well, if God's in it, we better leave it alone. And don't be found fighting against God.
Amen.
Some people don't worry about that though, but here in the 5th chapter, I want to read verse 13 through the remaining part of the chapter tonight. Joshua is out, and I don't know, maybe he's up early one morning, maybe he's up late one night, I don't really know. But the Bible said, and it came to pass, verse 13, chapter 5, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the land, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. God, we ask you, Lord, for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to preach this message that, God, that you've laid on our heart this evening. God, help us, Lord, that we could say something that might touch somebody's heart in a special way here tonight. Lord, I ask you just to be with us, Father, through the preaching. Give us strength. God, help us tonight that we get the message across that you want to get across to this congregation. And God, I can't do it, but I know you can. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Bible said here in verse 13 that Joshua, he was standing by Jericho. Now I don't know exactly how close to Jericho he was, but I imagine that maybe it looks to me like that possibly Joshua was standing just looking at the city of Jericho and wondering, how in the world are we going to breach those walls? How are we going to get inside that city? God has said that he will give us the city. How in the world? I mean, the walls are so high and wide and so mighty. And I imagine as Joshua was standing here maybe early one morning before anybody else got up, maybe late one evening after everybody else went to bed. That's when the, I tell you something, the pastor and preachers today, and maybe Sunday school teachers, sometimes we find ourselves getting up in the night and going out and praying and talking to God about things. And I imagine Joshua, maybe this was one of those times, and he was just standing there, just questioning in his own mind, maybe, how in the world are we going to do this? God has already promised that he was going to deliver it to us, and I'm not so worried about that, but how is it going to take place? Now, I've heard it said that Joshua, Jericho, the walls were so wide that you could ride a horse and chariot on them. I don't know. But I do know that they was wide enough that Rahab the harlot had a house built on them. So I know that wasn't little walls, and they were high. And she told the children of Israel that Jericho is shut up because of you all. And she said, nobody comes out, nobody comes in. I mean, people are terrified. And after they crossed Jordan and the inhabitants of that land saw Jordan River dried up, they really, God put the fear of God in those folks' hearts. And so here's Joshua standing out here, and he's just standing up pretty close to Jericho, maybe trying to find out from God about something. And all of a sudden, he looked, and behold, a man. Behold, he said, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn and in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and this was the question he asked, art thou for us or for our adversary? Yeah. Have you ever asked that question of the Lord? Are you trying to help me or are you trying to hinder me? Because sometimes it certainly seems like that God is trying to hinder us. And in my life, there's been times that I felt like God hindered me in some things. But after a period of time passed, I said, God, I thank you for your hindrance. I mean, if it had not been for your hand hindering me, I might have been into something that I had no business being into. I'm thankful sometimes for the hindering hand of God. But here's Joshua, and he's talking to this man. Now, I believe that this man is none other than Jesus. Now, you're not going to find the word Jesus in the Old Testament. But you can find the man Jesus in the Old Testament. There's many times that he has came on the scene, and it just seems like that maybe this was one of those times when that Jesus himself appeared. I remember in the book of Daniel in chapter number 3 when King Nebuchadnezzar built a large image of gold and said, everybody, when you hear the music play, you bow down and you worship this image of gold that I have made. And I find 3 men over there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that would not bow to that golden image. And so it was told to the king that these 3 men didn't bow. And he called them and he said, look, I'm going to play the music again and give you a second chance. And basically, paraphrasing, they said, you can give us all the chances you want. We're not going to bow down to your image of gold. You can play music all night. We'll stand tall while it's playing. And he said, who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand? And the Bible said, we're not slow to answer you. In other words, they was real quick to say, the God that we serve is more than able to deliver us out of your hand if he wants to. And if he don't want to, we're still not going to bow down to your image of gold. So the Bible said that they heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it ought to be heated, and they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the midst of that blazing flame. It killed 3 men on the outside of the furnace, and surely would have cremated anybody inside. And the king went and looked in later and said, I thought we threw 3 men in here. And they said, we surely did. And he said, but I see 4 in here. They're unloosed and they're unhurt and they're walking around. And the form of the 4th man that I see is like unto the Son of God. He made an appearance. He appeared in the wilderness when Moses needed water for the people. Paul said in the book of Corinthians over there, he told the Corinthian church, he said, they drank that spiritual water out of that rock in the wilderness, and Jesus was that rock. He was a rock when he was needed to be. He was a savior in a fiery furnace. And here I believe that he's a soldier come to help Joshua. He said, Joshua asked him the question, whose side are you on? And he said, I'm just for the host of the army of the God of Israel.
Amen.
I'm not on anybody's side. I'm just on the right side.
Amen.
That's how God is. He's on the right side.
Amen.
And if you find him on the opposite side from you, you know what that means? You're on the wrong side.
Amen.
That's the only way it can be. Because, hey, if you're having problems in your life, you can't understand things going on that's inexplainable, things that you think, well, God ought to fix this. Maybe you need to fix some things up with God so he can fix that. You see, if there's any turning against to do, it'll be you that turns. It won't be God. He has never turned against his own. I find the Bible said here in verse number 13, and Joshua beheld, and there stood a man. In John chapter number 19 and verse 5 in Pilate's hall, then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. I believe that's what Joshua was doing back here in the 5th chapter of Joshua. I believe he was beholding the man.
Amen.
I believe that this was Jesus come to help them get inside them walls of Jericho. I believe it was God being merciful and sending help to his army to comb through that Canaan land and defeat the enemy and gain that land for the possession that he promised them. Joshua said, whose side are you on? He said, I'm just on God's side. That's where I stand at. Listen, the Bible said in the 14th verse, he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Listen, Joshua had a question in verse 13, whose side you on? And then here in this 14th verse, the Bible said that he answered and said, I'm on the right side. Whose side are you on?
Amen.
So when next time you question if God is on your side, you question, are you on God's side? That's the real question. That's the question that begs to be answered. Which side are you on? My wife and I sang a song sometime, who's on the Lord's side? When Moses came down off the mountaintop up there and the children of Israel had made a golden calf and Aaron had made it for them, and he told Moses, he said, they brought the gold, I just threw it in the fire and the calf jumped out. Now if you believe that, I'm going to tell you something. I got a good oceanfront property in Arizona I'm trying to sell. I mean, listen, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And you think for 1 minute that Moses believed that the hand of God came against the children of Israel that day and the plague started and they started dying. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. And the tribe of Levi came over and said, we're on God's side. And ever since then, they was the priestly tribe. They was God's people. They never went out to war. They stayed back and took care of the temple of God. They took care of the sacrifices. They took care of all the spiritual things of God. And when they came into the promised land, they built a temple, Solomon did. And the priests and the Levitical tribe, they took care of all the things of God because they stood up in the wilderness and said, we're on God's side. Listen, if you'll stand up tonight and be on God's side, it's untelling what God will be able to do with you.
Yes.
Joshua said, whose side are you on? He said, nay, but I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. And now let me ask you, whose side you're on? He said, I come as the host. Now, you know something, Joshua, he's standing out here up against Jericho or near Jericho, and you know something, up to this point Joshua is probably surveying all the tents of the children of Israel. He's got all this vast army and this vast number of people that he has inherited when Moses went up on the mountain and died. And Joshua, you know something, and I know Joshua was full of faith. Him and Caleb was only two over 20 years old that left Egypt and made it to the promised land. The only two. 600,000 men left Egypt and only two made it to the promised land. Now I'll tell you something, that's pretty slim odds. And I tell you something, I want to be among those two. I want to be doing what God said was right. But Joshua and Caleb, they went and spied out the land, came back and said, we can take it, let's go right now. And everybody else cried and wept and begged to die in the wilderness. And so that's what happened. And God raised up a new generation, and Joshua has now inherited Moses' problems. That's what he did. I mean, you know, you think, boy, what a position. I mean, he's in a lofty position. Yeah, Moses cried about it a lot and said, God, just kill me. Hey, these people ain't mine, they're yours. And you just throw me out here to take care of them. And I'm tired of them. But yet every time God started to destroy them, Moses would jump right between God and Israel and say, if you're going to destroy them, destroy me too. Listen, sometimes we got to stand between sin and the Savior. Sometimes we got to stand between our loved ones and hell. Sometimes we got to stand in places that's not real comfortable to stand in. But Joshua here, he was probably maybe surveying all this vast bunch of people, and maybe, you know, something that could possibly make a man a little bit cocky, you know? And so he sees a man with a sword drawn and decides, I'm just going to walk up there and ask him what he thinks he's doing here. And so he walks up to a man with a drawn sword and said, are you on our side or for our adversary? And I'll tell you something, he might have. I'm saying he might have been a little cocky. That's one of them things I'm speculating, because I know how men are. And he might have been just a little bit exalted. But buddy, I want to tell you something. As soon as he found out who he was talking to, I want to tell you something, the cockiness would have disappeared. I mean, Joshua realized, there for a minute I thought I was in charge, but now I realize I'm not in charge at all. You're in charge. And so he relinquished his leadership position to this man that was standing with a sword drawn.
Amen.
This man said, but for the captain of the host of the Lord am I come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord and his servant? Now here's another reason why I think this is Jesus. Because there's a lot of places in the Bible where people fell down to worship angels, and they say, get up and don't do that. Get up and don't do that. But in this case, when Joshua fell on his face, he didn't say get up. Listen, Joshua fell down at this man. He beheld the man. And in the book of John we read where Pilate said, behold the man. Joshua beheld the man. And when he realized who the man was, he fell on his face before him and did worship him. Now I want you to realize tonight that Joshua, he was in charge 5 minutes ago. Now he's just another soldier. Because there's a new king in town. And so Joshua here, he fell down and began to worship this man. And he asked him a question, the last part of verse 14. He said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? What do you say? I mean, hey, when I walked over here, I was in charge. Now I'm your servant. He said, what does my Lord say to my servant? Joshua had a mind change. He had a heart operation. He had a lot of things changed about him. Right there, he got the answer back that he wanted to know who this man was on, whose side he was on. The answer was, whose side are you on? And so he fell down to worship him. And his attitude no doubt changed. Joshua, the leader of 1 million people, suddenly said, I'm the servant. Listen, until you become willing to become the servant, you'll never be the leader. We have to be the servant. We have to be the servant of God. We can't come and tell God what to do, but we come and ask God what to do. I know back in the 70s, there was a religion going around or started, I don't know how far off the ground, that God hadn't heard nothing about it in a while, but there was people that they said, we demand what God is supposed to do. We don't pray and ask God, we tell God what to do. And I heard of one person that was in that kind of religion, and they commanded God to heal their sick child, and the child died. And that's when they realize you don't command God to do anything. God is in charge. He's in control. You don't command Him or order Him to do anything. You ask Him and He'll tell you what He expects.
Amen.
And that was the next thing that Joshua said. What do you say to your servant, Lord? What are you going to say for me to do? And the angel or the man here, wasn't no angel. I read a commentary, said some people think this was a vision. This wasn't a vision. Joshua was standing up here talking to this man. He fell down to worship this man. Listen, a lot of people had visions, but it wasn't like this. And so the Bible said, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now listen, Joshua said to this man, he said, "What's the first thing you want me to do, Lord?" And he said, "First thing I want you to do is get your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground."
Amen.
Now does that sound a lot like somebody else we met in the Bible back in the book of Exodus, when Moses turned aside to see a burning bush, and all he wanted to see was a bush that was on fire and wasn't consumed, and when he got there, a voice out of that burning bush said, "Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground." And Moses took his shoes off too, and he met I Am at a burning bush.
Amen.
In the third chapter of Exodus.
Amen.
Here we are in the fifth chapter of Joshua, and Joshua has met the same family.
Amen.
He's met somebody that said, "Take off your shoes first, because the ground that you're on is holy ground." And Joshua said, "Yes, sir, that's what I was fixing to do."
Amen.
If it'd been me, a lot of times I'd probably said, I'd rather not do that, because my feet are swelled and I can't get my shoes back on after that. He would have said, "You don't have to worry about that, because if you don't take your shoes off, there ain't going to be no that after that." Listen, Joshua, this man said, "Take your shoes off and we'll talk about it."
Right.
Listen, here in the fifth chapter, the plan hasn't been laid out. How they going to take Jericho? Joshua here, he met this man and he took his shoes off because he was on holy ground. And it wasn't until chapter 6 in verse 1, the Bible said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Now that didn't happen over chapter number 6. We're in chapter number 5, and Joshua still don't know how they're going to get the walls of this city down. He still don't know what God's going to do. He knows God's going to do something, but he don't have a clue how. And so God told him in chapter number 6, he said, "Go out and march around the city of Jericho one time and go back to camp and do this for 6 days, and don't anybody say a word." I heard somebody not too long ago said there couldn't have been any women there because nobody talked. I'm just saying, that's what I heard. Nowadays, it wouldn't have been very many men there either, because I don't know too many men that don't talk about as much as women anymore. But anyway, he said, "You do that 6 days. On the seventh day, you go around 7 times. Now they wrote a song, said the Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and march 7 times around. That's not exactly true. He did tell him march 7 times around on the seventh day, but he also told him march around one time a day for 6 days. And last time I was in school, 6 and 7 was 13. So people say 13's an unlucky number. It was for Jericho. Because when they marched around the 13th time, and the priest blew with the ram's horn, and everybody gave a shout, the Bible said the wall fell down flat.
Amen.
Now, you know what my next question is going to be, because I've asked it before. If the walls of Jericho is wide enough to build houses on, and they fell down flat, they'd still be too high to go over. So how in the world did every man just go straight forward? I think they sunk down the ground. That's my opinion. I think they just went down in the ground. And the people of Jericho was standing behind the wall, and all of a sudden it just coming down. There ain't nothing they can do. They ain't nowhere to hide. That's my opinion. I mean, that's the only way I can figure it out. Because you take something 10 foot wide and lay it down flat, now it's 10 foot high. I mean, got to be an explanation. I don't question God. I just think about things like this. But the Bible said that when they did what God told them to do, God gave them the victory.
Amen.
Over Jericho.
Amen.
Also, Rahab's house is on top of the wall. I think their house is on the ground after they got in there. I mean, that's my opinion. And Joshua said, when we get inside there, you spies go and get Jericho and all, or get Rahab and all of her family that's in the house with her, and get them out to safety, because that's the deal you make. And so they walked straight in, and they went straight, I think, straight to her house, knocked on the door, didn't have to climb any stairs, climb any walls, and they got her and took her out to a place of safety, and the battle resumed. Listen, God is on my side. The question is, whose side am I on?
Right.
If you're not on the Lord's side, you're on the wrong side.
Amen.
And listen, a lot of people, they accuse God of not caring about them, not loving them. I hear so many prayer requests. And especially if y'all, anybody that's got a Facebook account, you look on there, there's somebody every day got a prayer request for somebody that's sick. Now, listen, I'm not against that. I'm not putting anybody down for that. If my loved ones are sick, I want prayer for them too. But you'll never find my prayer request posted on Facebook. I promise you that. If I need prayer, Facebook ain't never going to know nothing about it. And I'll tell you why. The majority of people that's on that thing, it's not even Christian. They're not saved. They wouldn't know how to pray no matter what happened.
Yeah.
And so why should I ask a bunch of lost people to send up a prayer to a living God on my behalf?
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. Now, I will send y'all a text. I might even call some of you. I might say, hey, I need prayer. But hey, this is going to be me on you, not me on Facebook going around the world to a bunch of lost people.
Amen.
But every request that you see just about is pray for the sick. You never see them say pray for the lost.
Amen.
They're not interested in people being saved. They're only interested in people being healed.
Yeah, preach it.
My car blew up. Pray for me a motor. Well, why don't you get right with God and start doing what you're supposed to do for God, and maybe He'll give you a whole new car. I mean, listen, we get our priorities all messed up and out of line. The question is, the real question is, whose side are you on tonight? You better be on God's side. Because when Jesus steps out on the clouds of glory, He's only coming after those on God's side. He ain't coming after the world.
Right.
He's not coming after the lost. He's not coming after those that have never been born again.
Right.
He's not coming after those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's not coming for the church roll book to see who's a member. He's not going to look and see who's been baptized. You can be baptized in every creek, river, every pond till every tadpole in the world knows you on a first name basis. And if you've never been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, by grace and through faith, you're going to die and go to hell. That's just the way it is. You cannot be on God's side without getting on God's side to start with.
Amen.
One thing the Baptists say a lot, and I mean, it's just getting where I don't even like to hear it. That old cliche, once saved, always saved. Man, people drive that in the ground. You don't believe in eternal security? I sure do. If you've been secured to start with. But if you haven't never been secured to start with, you're not ever going to be saved forever, because you've got to get saved to start with. And I tell you something, that just about gripes me to even hear that. And the people that are saying it mostly is those that are not wanting to live right. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to do what God wants them to do, if He even wants them to do anything. They don't want to do anything right. They just run around this thing, hey, once saved, always saved. I'm going to tell you something. The way that most of them are saved, they're on their way to hell and don't even, maybe they don't know it. I don't see how you could not know that you was lost. And if you know you're lost, you better come and get saved. And Joshua, here he asked the question to this man. He said, whose side are you on anyway? And the man looked at him and said, whose side are you on?
Amen.
I want God to know I'm on His side. I want you all to know that I'm on God's side. I don't want anybody to have any doubt whose side I'm on.
Amen.
And if death should overtake me and you come to the funeral home, and it could be by this time next week that may very well happen. I'm not promised nothing any more than you are.
Amen.
But I don't want anybody filing by my casket saying, wonder which side he was on. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on God's side.
Amen.
I trust the host of the army of Israel. I trust the Savior that died on the cross of Calvary and resurrected for my salvation. I trust Him. I'm on His side. And that's on the side I want to be on. Listen, anybody that's not on His side, and everybody's not. Everybody's not. They went in and took the city of Jericho. God said, don't you touch nothing in there. It all belongs to me. Any gold and silver and all that comes into the church treasury. And don't you get it. And one man named Achan went in there and said, well, I think I'll take this and this and this. And nobody ever knew it. And he went home and hid it in his tent. Caused 37 men, or 36 men, I guess, to die up at Ai. They went up there and they said, it's just a small city. And the way we went through Jericho, we don't need everybody up there. You know what their problem was? We. They didn't realize, they didn't say the way God gave us Jericho, God will give us Ai, and God don't need all that. We took Jericho. We're going to Ai. We'll take Ai with just a handful of people. Listen, when you start that we and me and I, you're not on God's side anymore. So Achan brought in the wedges of gold and silver in the Babylonian garment and hid it in his tent. 36 men died in battle that day, and the children of Israel ran before their enemies. And I see Joshua right after that on his face before God and complaining and crying and saying, I thought you was on my side. And God said, I thought you was on my side. You've got somebody in the camp that's not on my side. And until you pull him out and find out what he did and punish him for what he did, I'm not ever going to bless you again. We need to keep sin out of our lives. You're on God's side. Keep sin away from you. Turn away from it. The Bible said with every temptation. You know, I used to when I was younger, I'd fall into something. I'd say, well, God allowed me to do that. God, listen, with every temptation, God makes a way of escape.
Amen.
I just didn't want to escape. You know what I mean? It's something I wanted to do, and I'll escape later. But right now, I don't want to escape. Joseph, down in the land of Egypt, the Bible said he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife came unto him and wanted him to lie with her. And Joseph could have done that. He could have said, it happened, there was no way out. There was a way out, because Joseph ran out of his coat and headed for the door.
Amen.
God makes a way of escape if you want it.
Amen.
Most people don't want it. The question we ask, the question is, God on our side? And the real question is, are you on God's side?
Amen.
That's a question that bids to be asked, and it bids an answer. And I would like to ask everyone here tonight just to think about that just for a second. Are you on God's side? Whose side are you on tonight? February the 11th, 2018. Where do you stand? Are you on God's side? He said, preacher, I'm on my side. You don't have a side. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side,
amen,
one or the other. You didn't do it your way because you didn't have a way. You either do it God's way, or you do it the devil's way. One of that's only two ways they are. There is no third option. You either go to heaven or hell. If there was a third option and you could do it your way and you're on your own side, then you could have your own place to go. And you don't. If you don't make heaven your home, then hell will be your home. And if you don't want hell to be your home, you make heaven your home. But the opportunity and the option is yours and yours alone. And you're the one that has to make the decision. You want Jesus to bless you. You want God to help you. You've got to be on His side. While they come tonight and get a song. Father, we thank You for giving us another opportunity to stand. Thank You, Lord, for the anointing to preach. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the message. God, I ask You, Lord, tonight just to touch every heart in this building with the precious Word of God. Help each one to just examine and see whose side we're really on. God, I ask You to help us to make a decision and a choice to be on Your side. Lord, I ask You just to help each one tonight. Father, there may be some here tonight that's lost and don't know You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I ask You, God, to touch that old lost, cold, hard heart. God, help somebody to come to Calvary before it's too late. Be with us tonight. Now, Father, as we sing the invitation, touch somebody's heart here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand, while we sing the number.